This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh. If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
Oh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listen to What If His People Prayed by Casting Crowns, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Do you think you can make God laugh?
No. You're a clown if you say.
Hey.
I'm a Christian wife.
Sicario.
Everything.
White women are notoriously shifty.
That age 12.
With her.
Clean up on aisle butt.
The man who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today.
Did you get a new one?
No doubt I love this
Kevin.
What's wrong? It's a long story.
What's wrong with you? You, whatever the story is.
Hey, welcome to Good Christian Fun.
The fact that your old elbow is not usable. What you do?
Hey, we need to. No. I cannot. This is liable.
I saw the Fresh tag on that Elmo.
No. Okay.
And I saw your old Elmo recently. So, like, this happened yesterday.
I can't.
Ugh.
I don't know if I can get into it.
You can't get into it?
Okay. I will get into it. Just to say.
I'll make up what happened then.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're here to have Good Christian Fun. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture and the music, the movies, and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. We're not here to make fun of you or to make you go to church. We're just here to have good Christian fun. So during that, Elmo did sing part of that Lee Greenwood song, Proud to Be an American, which of course we are playing in light of recent events. What's that?
Oh, yeah. Recent events.
And we are recording this the Thursday night before the Wednesday that this comes out. So it's going to age good. We are six days in the past and everything is wonderful and no anxiety here and everything is good. So, Elmo was singing a little bit of it. And you can tell it's a different Elmo because his eyes are a little closer together than the other one.
Yeah, in the tag.
Well, yes, in the tag.
So, yeah, what happened?
Well, what happened is I feel like the other Elmo puppet, it's not a dirty story. It's just that the other... Should I tell it? The other Elmo puppet has just slowly not become mine. My quarantine partner has kind of taken...
What the fuck is going on with you?
What do you mean?
What is happening?
What?
Your quarantine partner has taken over the weird Elmo that lives in your living room?
Well, he's not Elmo anymore.
So you had to get a new one?
Yeah. Well, he's Felmo now. The old Elmo is Felmo. His eyes are further apart.
You know what?
He's,
I'm sorry I
he's got
asked
a little
about
dot
this Elmo
on his
extended
nose.
Universe
so
in
then
your house.
When my quarantine
it's
partner
so much worse.
Went on a travel, she went traveling and then Felmo went with her and I got a little lonely while Felmo was gone.
Good Lord.
And so... It's like ordering a new one, except his mouth is weird and his eyes make him look dumb, unfortunately.
Oh, that's too bad.
Shut
oh,
up!
No.
It
what
is
are you
too
gonna
bad.
Do?
But now, you know.
Kevin.
It's easier to have two of them because they can play with each other and they kind of keep each other out of trouble.
So. Listeners, maybe I'm sounding a little harsh, but the real thing I'm upset about is the wastefulness, because Kevin does have about seven other puppets that he could have turned to, and instead he made an Amazon worker, underpaid, overworked.
You don't know I got it from Amazon.
Bring a fresh fucking Elmo to him.
I did get it from Amazon.
Amazon Prime.
Hey! Oh, man.
He's like, I need it in one day, please. Hurry up. Let me tell you guys about Felmo first.
All like, the warehouse no labor thanks. Abuse is worth it to get my puppet in 48 hours or less. Thank you, Daddy Bezos.
Oh
thank
my
you,
gosh.
Papa.
All right.
So that,
I'll let that go.
I don't, by the way, I don't have seven other puppets. I have one. And then I have other stuffed animals,
true.
But they're not puppets. And that's such a difference.
I know you have two more puppets at least.
No, I have Elmo, Felmo.
You have Finklin. Finklin.
Yeah.
And then you also have Kevin.
Oh, I do have Kevin. You're right. Okay. Yeah. So I do have a few. Mm. Mm-hmm. See, just like me to forget myself and put others first.
Aw.
Is that fun?
It's fun.
So we're doing, we're doing singles ministry today. We're listening to a song.
It's a Whopper too.
What if his it's not a Big Mac, it's a Whopper for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's not it's a healthy boy.
Have it your way.
To sink our teeth into. And so the three of us together are all going to take a little bite out of this Whopper and maybe Lady and the Tramp in the middle and wipe the cheese off each other's lips and have a little giggle
no,
as we do.
Here's
it.
The thing is what? If I touch your lips, I've touched Elmo's lips and that I'm not comfortable
you,
with.
I don't kiss.
It's the Elmo aspect I'm not comfortable with.
When you kiss Kevin, you kiss every puppet he's ever
we learned
been
this
with.
In youth group, yeah.
Okay, let's introduce our very special guest before she leaves in protest. Friends and folks, she's the head of the Multitude Podcast Collective and the host of the podcast Spirits and Join the Party. Everybody, give it the hell up for Amanda
McLaughlin.
Hello.
Come on, everybody, get up and sing him a hallelujah. Can you pray? No, put him away. No, stop kissing him. No.
Do you know when you like walk into a bar or a party and you've gotten the dress code really wrong? I don't know if it's ever happened to you. It's happened to me before.
Sure.
That is how I felt when Kevin lifted his Elmo into frame and I lifted my Miller High Life into frame. And was like, oh no, is it not this kind of recording?
Unfortunately, no. We are an anti-substance of all kind.
What? Yeah, anti-substance. Like not alcohol.
No substances.
Substance. Yeah.
No coffee.
Yeah. We are the most insubstantial podcast you're listening to today, dear friend. JK
No, we're glad you're here. You fit right in. I am sorry about the business we had to take care of before you got here.
Yeah, that did feel like that felt like something that might have been reserved for the text message after the show, if I'm being honest. Like inter-family discipline.
Why do you feel that way? Oh, is it because your Elmo habits were on display?
I have no secrets, but I do
have
privacy.
We have to I do have privacy.
I do. That's my right.
Shame thrives in the shadows.
Oh,
I'm glad
sure.
you feel safe to talk about this in front of me.
I was doing this to get rid of shame.
Shame thrives in the shadows. That feels like a Bible verse, but it's not. It also sounds like
it's a
Harry
paraphrasing
Potter.
Paraphrasing of Brene Brown. So yeah, we're getting
basically
at the same
the
place.
Well, yeah. Amanda, yeah. You're going to learn on this show. We're a little less Brene Brown, a little more Brene Clown. All right, Hong Kong. Ah, spit it out, Caroline. Hi, y'all. We need vulnerability. Or like, wait, can I do her
so that's your Amy Grant with your Emma Stone mixed together.
That is
your Brene Brown.
I have all the respect in the world for her. She's one of the only celebrity podcasts I think is good. And it is good.
Wow, that's very high praise.
I think a lot of them are good, but not publicly. Like Conan's interview with Bruce Springsteen, I thought was very good.
Yeah.
The only celebrity that podcast executives talk about is Dax Shepard. Like every single podcast company employee, executive person has been like, you know what kind of podcast I like? I like that Dax Shepard. He's the one. He knows how to do it.
Create the Dax magic.
And like, it's a fine podcast, but it's just, it's as if somebody got a memo or everybody got a memo.
Well, you're saying like white men in their 40s and 50s somehow find a path to empathy with Dax Shepard.
They sure do.
Some radical way. Wow.
Something they can relate to.
Good for them.
Can say.
Glad they found something.
We can say.
Well, Amanda, we're not here to pray to the God of celebrity podcasting. We're here to pray to real God. Just kidding. We're just here to talk about God and your history with religion and faith. How'd you grow up with it?
I grew up as a closeted suburban Catholic. Wow. Hashtag it, sweet to me. And
which suburb?
Of New York City, Long Island. Oh. Nassau County,
the
same town that Amy Fisher is from. So that's what you have to know. And Lindsay Lohan's mom lived next to my elementary school.
Dina
in her white Mercedes. Dina was always very friendly. I don't know what anybody has against Dina.
Wait, I'm sorry, I don't know who Amy Fisher is. I'm googling her now.
I don't know who that is either.
She's the Long Island Lolita, it looks like. Okay, I see.
Yes. She attempted to kill her much older boyfriend's wife when she was in high school and was just very misled and in a bad situation and then made some bad choices.
Yeah. She was like a premature girl boss.
But yes, so my town was entirely Catholic and Jewish, and that's what I thought the makeup of the country was until I was in like early high school and saw a map and was like, that can't be right. There can't be that many Protestants. So my growing up was very like obligatory, like church is obligatory. You go once a week, you get through it, you get done, you're out in 55 minutes. And my dad's family are from Ireland, so very devout Catholic. That's kind of the cultural background. But I think our version of it was like, this is a thing we do because you know, my parent did it as a kid. And especially growing up bisexual, going to, you know, Sunday school and stuff like that, didn't feel particularly welcomed. Didn't feel like my questions, you know, when I was 11 and the priest was like trying to get through the day was particularly answerable. So not a thing that I've pursued in my teenagehood and adulthood.
Wait, what questions did you have for the priest?
Reconciling, you know, science with the kind of biblical fundamental, literalist view of evolution, things like that. And also just like trying to bring up in the way that kids do, like inviting adults to say a reassuring thing to you about queerness or whatever it might be, and just not getting that, not having any examples of queer adulthood, particularly queer religious adulthood. So growing up now and knowing that exists, and there's just whole communities of people who square their sexuality with their religion in like many kinds of ways, has been really exciting to see, but not a thing that I really had access to when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. And so how did it evolve? Did you just kind of fall out of church as you grew older, or did you stay in it until a certain point?
I did, yeah. After my my confirmation, like many Catholics, let that one go. And when I went to college, sort of, you know, stopped attending the services when I came home for holidays with my family. But I have since had the pleasure of going to different services of all different faiths and denominations with friends, and going to, you know, their services, seeing how that's done, knowing people and having deep relationships with people with whom faith is and for whom faith is really important. Mm-hmm. And that has just been an exciting thing, having sort of written it off, you know, for a formative period of my life to come into adulthood and see if that's really important to people. It makes me think that, you know, that's wonderful. And it's not all just kind of a, you know, obligatory thing you show up for, buy some pizza on your way home, you know, and just like get it done as an errand.
I'm trying to think of what it would be analogous to in my life of something that people are interested in that I don't have a condescending attitude towards, but no real connect. Like, I wonder if it's like sports almost. When it's like, I understand why rooting for the Yankees is important, and it's community, it's identity, it's your hometown, it's where you're from. If it's like that for you when you're like engaging with it with friends, like how do you identify now faith-wise or spiritually?
As a middle schooler, it was important to me to identify as an atheist. That felt like the maximum rebellious
How was that received in middle school?
Not well. I was friends with a couple of skaters who really liked Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens. And I have since complexified in my views of agnosticism and atheism. But I think just kind of like a-religious or non-religious is the thing that I gravitate toward. But there are lots of ways in therapy and in life in which, you know, my upbringing does still have an influence on me. So I think having grown up Irish Catholic is still definitely a part of me, you know, regardless of what sort of my practice is now.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever wonder, like, man, if I had grown up in church and there were like queer clergy there and everything and everyone was open about it, like, do you ever wonder, like, where would I be now? Like, would I have stuck around for it, or would I still probably be kind of a-religious, you know, regardless of that?
Definitely. I think I was very primed to want that, you know, and like just being like a lonely, bookish, like intellectual, weird kid. I think that, you know, complex intellectual systems is a thing that I was like really looking for. And until that kind of like realizing I was different, realizing I was queer, kind of like around, you know, 11, 12, 13, like having that kind of schism, a little religious reference for you there, a little humor.
Wait, why is that religious in particular, that word?
The Great Schism. I don't know. I guess I don't hear the word schism in other contexts.
I do when I'm talking to Snoop Dogg. Sorry, should I bring Elmo back?
That's a drop.
No, it's not. I'm in charge of that, so it's not.
I think that would have been great. And I definitely like had some, you know, emotional moments seeing, you know, queer clergy on Queer Eye and reading books and following people online who are, you know, queer rabbis, queer priests. And it's awesome to see. And I feel a little bit like I kind of lost my chance on that. Maybe that won't end up being true. And I'll find somewhere that really, really is meaningful for me or appeals to me. But in lieu of that, growing up, I found theater, I found literature, you know, I found,
you prayed to the gods of online. Sondheim, of Albee, of Lloyd Webber. You bowed at their altars made of gold.
Well, listening to the Angels in America episode of Mara Wilson, I was like, I read that play with like post-its next to me being like, these are the references I need to know to like, you know, belong to the New York theater queers. Like, this
oh my
is
gosh.
What I need.
Like lines yeah. from the show were the references you needed to know.
It's yeah, like an entrance genius, exam.
If Genius was not just about rap songs back then, I would have like read through the full annotated version of the play
gosh.
The poem Howl by Allen Ginsberg, like all these fucking like NYU freshman ass passions that were very important to me.
Yeah.
That was what I grappled onto, you know?
It's funny to think about Angels in America as like the theater queer community version of The Office. Where it's where it's like so prevalent it becomes basic. I'm a prior like, looking for my Lewis or whatever the case may be.
It's like, did you see Raul Esparza's Company? Because that's the only one worth seeing.
Like, oh
you really get there.
Oh yeah.
But I will say that it's very exciting listening to this show and certainly coming on, because I feel like Catholics have no fun media. Like the first time I saw a guitar in a church was when I went to like someone's Lutheran service in college. Like it really was just not a thing. I never heard a song sung in church that was not a psalm. And I mean, Catholics for fun, like we read the diaries of saints from the fucking Dark Ages. Like there is not a lot of like contemporary media, at least again in the stuff I had access to, the stuff I was taught and like held up as an example. I'm sure there's lots of great stuff on Tumblr.
Yeah, I always expected Tumblr? Like, oh, there must be like, you know, a Catholic VeggieTales and also various other versions of this for everybody. But I feel like maybe Catholics also just used a lot of like the Protestant Christian media also, you know, in their church. But I always thought that there would be, yeah, like you said, like more fun like Catholic content out there.
At least like American English language content. Like, there's a lot of good Spanish language, like kids' TV shows that are Catholic.
Oh, that's a good point.
Podcasts,
yeah.
And yeah, like more kind of contemporary writing. But yeah, the idea of like fun, relatable Christian content, you know, was not a thing at all that I grew up with.
Well, and if you had it, you would have stayed. You would have stayed in the faith. That was the tipping point.
I would have kept you in a lot longer.
A medium budget, like animated version of the Old Testament would have kept me.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I'm sorry for the Muppet housekeeping we had to do in the midst of it.
Thank you for that. Thank you for your patience.
That's okay.
And thank you for your story. I love it.
Yeah. If any bi Catholics want to get at me on Twitter, I'd love to chat.
Well, hit us with that ad right now. What is
invite.
That?
At She's So Mickey.
As She's So Mickey. Because you said bi Catholics, and that you still identify as a bi Catholic, or like bi ex-Catholic?
Bi person raised Catholic, I think.
Okay.
So regardless of how, you identify now. I think it's not a thing I've read a lot about. I've read a lot about gay Catholics and, you know, celibate gay Catholics and people who, you know, reconcile those two things in many ways. But I think, as with many queer discourses, the B part gets overlooked sometimes. So
totally.
I'm very curious about people's experiences.
Totally. Hit her up. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now.
Mm.
And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with the new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
like... feel as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree.
The
first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time once again for another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
Stunning.
I recorded that in one take and never re-recorded it.
Well, when you know perfection, one you have to keep doing it.
One and done. Hey, they recorded Born in the USA, and they used the second take, and that's the song, baby.
Exactly,
and that's
like that.
The same.
Yeah.
Amanda, you were talking about the kind of Christian pop culture that you wish that maybe you could have access to. Did you have any exposure to it? Have you had any exposure to it at all in your adult life? Anything that you're familiar
fully
with?
Fully nothing. No.
Zero nothing. Zip zilch. And what's your impression of it from an outsider's perspective?
You know, I wanted to start by asking you that question, what your impression was of this song, because I don't have a bass line. And so reading this, I was like, okay, pretty good song, like a bop, okay. And then it was like, fuck Oprah. And I was like, oh my God. So
I can't imagine.
I'm not sure what to make of it.
Sure. So the song we're talking about is,
oh my God,
What If His People Prayed by Casting Crowns. Casting Crowns is a band from out of Daytona Beach, Florida, and then Georgia. It's a large band. There's men and women in the band comprising of it, led by Mark Hall, who's also the lead singer and used to be a youth pastor. They formed in the late 90s, of course, as all these bands were wont to do.
Wait, did we ever cover these folks before?
No, I don't believe so. No, I think I've always been too repulsed too.
Oh, wow, that is shocking. I mean, do you know what this show has been?
this
is a bridge too far.
Well, I think the repulsion of them comes from the fact that they hit the scene in 2003, at which point I was on my way out, baby. I was gone.
So you were,
the zone was 94 to 2001. And then
we call
everything.
That the K spot.
Excuse me?
We call that the K spot.
Yeah. And you got to hit it or I'm going to quit it. and anything before and after is an education for me, too. So this came after that. 2003, firmly into the first term of Prez Bush. And along
those
comes
were the days.
Casting Crowns, which Mark Hall describes their music as ministry of discipleship. And I think that alone is descriptive enough that we all understand what that means musically and what that's meant to convey and entail.
That was the band leader said, we're a ministry of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
It began as a student worship band. What's that?
Can someone unpack that for me?
Yeah. So it's like a ministry, but specialized in the form of discipleship.
I feel like some people have a different definition of discipleship, but I feel like the best translation would be like mentorship.
Okay,
that's like
mostly
how it,
I got
but. Yeah, because like mentorship but maybe that's just because I heard that in context as like a high school and college kid, where usually it was like it just meant that someone older or like more experienced in faith, like got coffee with you once a week and like talked about your faith, you know,
kind
of thing.
Good
like
peers. So
yeah.
They're like telling people to help people like find their zone.
Yes. Or also to just like spread the gospel, because disciples were Jesus's followers who like, you know, learned from him and then eventually were the people that, you know, went out and started the church.
That's a good word.
I think sometimes discipleship is the 2000s, 90s equivalent of hashtag be best, where it's like, I guess it's whatever you want it to be in the sense of
because
there is legitimate like, oh, this is just a synonym for another infrastructure of mentor-mentee relationships.
Mm-hmm. I was just struck by memory. A, I love Reliant K. Christian sort of like pop punk.
Speaking of the case,
so you have a little exposure.
No. I love the song Sadie Hawkins Dance. I don't know much more about their catalog, but that was on a mixtape a friend gave me on 8 tracks. Shout out 2008.
Oh my God.
And it was outstanding.
Rhodes Scholar Matt Thiessen on the vocals.
Yeah. But I did recently learn about the kind of Christian context of the sort of like doing life together, which is the thing I'd seen on social media and not really put it together.
Oh my God, yeah.
Doing life. Okay, so you're talking about the phrase specifically that Christians use, doing life with each other.
Yes.
Yes, there is, I believe, An explainer article. Okay, yes, it's on Vox. And it's written by Laura Turner. Couples over Instagram are doing life together. Here's where it came from. And it talks about the evangelical roots. So people who want to who read this is very funny. I read this, like, it came out last year. It's a good article.
Yeah.
So take very a read good. Of that. Doing life, by the way, met a friend in the park today. Had a nice little chat and hang with her. And we both come from a Christian back, obviously I do, but she does as well. And at one point, unironically, in the midst of a kind of heavy emotional conversation about some stuff, she did just slip in, yeah, you know, it's stuff like that, and just the idea of doing life. And I'm like, ah, doing life! And I was like, alarm
doing
went off.
Life.
Ah! She's like, ah! It's still in there, and it always will be.
A ministry of discipleship. Yeah, because I feel like some bands like Casting Crowns and some of these Christian bands.
Did you say Casting Clowns?
Is it a play on Counting Crows, or is that just like a thing my eyes transposed onto it?
I mean, come on. They gotta.
No,
right?
Isn't it from a verse like Casting Crowns?
Well, I think it's
something?
Both. I think it's both.
I was talking about Casting Crowns saying that they are a ministry of discipleship and how a lot of Christian bands, especially like in the 90s and stuff, considered themselves like ministry first, band second, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. our concerts are kind of like a parachurch situation where you come for the rock and tunes, but our priority the entire night is not only to entertain, but to bring you to Christ. And I feel like Casting Crowns probably fits pretty firmly in that category.
I think, Caroline, we did cover just a teeny tiny bit of them. Because they did
a
put
jewel.
Up, yes, they did. That's right. We covered a little jewel, and they put out a Christmas album. I believe we played a not good track from it.
Oh, I bet that absolutely slaps.
About like, there's a war, or something like that.
There's a war. How did you find this, Kevin? This song, Kevin.
Well, you know what? This is actually a great segue for me to give props and shouts out to a listener who submitted this. This is from Annie. She submitted a few songs that she thought would be good for singles
Annie.
Ministry. One of which was Dear Slam by KJ52, which we have covered before. Sorry, we're not going to do it. But
oh, yeah. When he was like dissing
yes.
Eminem or whatever.
And one of them was What If His People Prayed by Casting Crowns. She says, I'm sure you've heard of this one before. A beautiful, manly voice criticizing America for looking up to Oprah, which is sort of the emotional climax of this song in particular. Yeah. And just to kind of give you some shading of Casting Crowns' whole thing, I'll just read a few salient points. Like in August 30th, 2009, Casting Crowns performed on Huckabee, Mike Huckabee's political talk show.
Oh, wow.
Was
in 2009.
In 2009, I know. Before
tell
skin.
You what, I just watched Pirates of the Caribbean 2, and I think that anyone that performs on the Huckabee show has a black spot, just like Jack Sparrow on their hand.
A reference we all remember and understand.
I bet most people honestly do, because those movies were very popular.
They made a lot of money. You're right. Shame on me. And okay, here's the other thing. You know what? I better just share my screen for this, because we are recording just to timestamp it a little bit. It's November 5th. It's 2020, and
it sure
just checking out Mark Hall's Instagram. He posted a video, and 2 days ago, and the caption is, "America, remember that light will always send the darkness running." # Casting Crowns. I've not listened to the content of this video. I literally haven't. Let me hear what it says.
Cannot spread. Darkness cannot. It can move. The only way it can move is it runs whenever the light shows up. Sometimes when it gets real dark, it seems like the darkness might be stronger than the light. But Jesus is the light of the world. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, and it never will. So I just want to tell you two things before we go. Number one, it's a little crazy right now. A lot of fear.
It is, Mark.
Now,
yeah. At your one, auditorium concert.
You need to pray, and you need to vote. I'm getting home tomorrow and I'm going to vote. I'm going to do my part. But I also know this. Kingdom is coming. Kingdom's going. Rulers rise. Rulers fall. It's been happening for thousands of years. And there is only one throne and only one who can sit on. And only power that's ever given anybody is what he allows.
It's the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell.
Vote for who, Mark? Vote for
Vote
who?
For who? That God is in He's really control. Hedging here a little
God
bit.
God has not given us a spirit of fear. There's no day, there's no election, there's no country, there's no system of government, there's nothing that's ever going to rise up and put out the light. Number two. If Jesus is in you, then the light is in you.
You'll vote
you're
for
going
Trump.
Home to somebody. You're going to work with somebody. You're going to school with somebody who does not have the light. And there are a lot of people throwing things at them, throwing words, throwing views. They're throwing doctrine. They're throwing everything they can. They're even throwing the Bible at them. But I'm telling you, you are different because you love them. And when you speak the truth in love, that kind of truth stays after you leave.
What is he talking about?
Which truth, Mark? Which truth?
Talking about soft. He's the soft boy.
I'm not going to turn Casting Crowns on their playlist. You're just out there in the dark. And there are many people that can argue with your views. They can argue with your beliefs. But no one can argue with your story. No one. Somebody in your world needs to hear your story. This was me before I met Jesus. This is what happened when I met Jesus. This is what's happened since I met Jesus. And if Jesus can save me...
This is when Jesus and I were on the rocks for a little bit. This is when Jesus and I reunited. This is when Jesus and I went on a date.
This video is so long. I would love if he just launched into a tight 15. So I'm dating again. It's weird. Have you guys been dating? Corona times. It's interesting.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
That would be the most engaging sermon I've ever heard. Mm. Like, in the context not of a band, but of church. Okay. Go for it, Mark.
Yeah.
What, the sermon he just gave? Or talking about dating again?
No. That's fine.
Well, I mean, I think... It feels so dog whistly, right? I don't know what he means. People are throwing your views at each other. What was he talking about?
To me, it sounded like he was advocating for not being like an asshole Christian, you know, and being like
an insensitive
person, which is cool. Yeah, I'll go for that.
So,
and also, I feel like he was kind of saying like, rulers rise, they may fall, stuff will happen, you know, but just do your best and whatever. Someone saw the writing on the wall.
I think so. Our Cheeto-dusted Papa Bear may fall, and that's okay.
Maybe he's not pro-Trump. I don't know. Maybe he is.
Okay, well, the other two keys I might unlock it is he took a picture of himself voting and saying, hey, look, it's my first and last political post of the year. Disabled the comments on it. And then... Caroline, this is going to be a special one for me and you.
Oh.
The previous post is about human child sex trafficking.
Woo, the hits. Yes. Number one on the charts. Hits.
It is a screenshot of the Fox News Instagram talking about Operation Autumn Hope, 45 missing children, 109 additional human trafficking survivors. Saved. No. I believe those numbers are false. And the caption is, keep praying for the rescue of children. So much is happening in the last few weeks. Help when you can.
And someone commented, why no news coverage?
Yeah.
On the Fox News screenshot.
This is the coronavirus and Black Lives Matter is a distraction from the fact that literally everyone you've ever met is a pedophile. It's a distraction.
Oh, boy.
So I think that
sure hope not.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, that does kind of clear it up a little.
I don't know. I don't know the validity of those numbers. There was just that. There was that story. I think, anyway, my short point on that is no one understands how human trafficking and trafficking laws work, and just look stuff up and have some media literacy with it. When you see we save 45 children from a thing, it could mean we found children. Technically, they were trafficked because of this law and this. It's not like there was a cabal under the pizza plate. Like, it's it's different. It's different. But that leads us to their debut song on their debut album. What if his people prayed?
What if?
Let's take a listen to it on our first episode of GCF and maybe a new kind of America.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed? And those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn from their own way.
And what? Okay, so far, okay, like, listen, I don't love storming the gates of hell imagery that much, but it's like, sure, what if his people, if we all, you know, reset our mind, what if we all meditated? What if we all did our own vinyasa in our own homes and, like, really centered ourselves? Like, that's fine.
What if we all loved our neighbors, eradicated poverty, like, made choices as Christ would? Like,
what if we built mutual aid networks?
Yeah. What if there's mutual aid?
What if there's a military and we get to be in it?
Well, always. I want to interpret dusting off your sword in maybe a different way.
That's what you call it? Pretty dusting. Dusty.
Dusting. Real dusty. Okay, here's the rest of the song.
Happen if we pray for those raised up to lead the way, then maybe kids in school could pray.
Ooh.
And unborn children see light of day.
Ooh.
What if the light that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to do? What if his people prayed? And those
for some reason that riff reminds me, it's a beautiful day.
Oh, it's so
beautiful. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking like a sale at the Gap, like I'm like a Kmart back to school sale. I'm really just getting like commercial vibes.
It's baseball season in Los Angeles.
If only we would pray.
If my people called by my name.
We have a lady in the band. Here she is now.
She's God. Yeah.
Progressive.
Oh, yeah, she is God. What? She's wait a Lord. Minute. Note that.
If my people called by my name.
And so on and so forth. What if my cat got spayed? What if cartoons got saved? But oh, we can't. Oh, never mind. Sorry to that man. Bye forever.
Sorry for to that man.
Well, I'm not sorry to that man. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. What a message. You know. What do you guys think about that? Like, where are you at? What's
well, the message? I want to let you know, Caroline, that whatever I think about it, it's my own thoughts and not what Oprah told me to think.
Damn.
No. Oprah
no
mentioned therapy
in this
once.
Room.
I've never gone to therapy. That's why.
Hell yeah. Hey, you know why? You know why, Amanda? Because you didn't go, bah, bah, whatever you tell me to do, Oprah. Bah.
I pay attention to the sex trafficking.
That's
so.
Right.
If I get you're real not, advice.
Wake up. It is Wake Up Sheeple the song in a lot of ways.
Kevin, did you have like a cultural animosity towards Oprah the way we maybe did in my fam.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
I almost get the Oprah one a little bit more than the one I'm about to say. Did either of you grow up, or any of our listeners grow up, with a sort of vague resentment in your household for Julia Roberts?
No.
Really?
No.
The vague resentment for Julia Roberts?
We did. Yes.
American
like
Sweetheart?
Her big mouth?
Her mouth is way too big for a lady.
It is. Yeah.
It's big and liberal. I remember growing up and a mutual friend of ours has, Caroline, but there was just some sort of thing our parents just didn't trust Julia Roberts.
Wow. I feel like generally Hollywood, you know, actors.
But she's not even particularly outspoken. I even understand if it's like, okay, Sean Penn's like, you know,
Alec
Oprah,
Baldwin,
Jane Fonda, Martin Sheen getting arrested for protest stuff. I'm like, in retrospect, why Julia?
Roberts?
She barely did anything.
Yeah.
Were people mad that she was attractive? You know? And like,
know. Well,
married men were like, oh.
Okay, here
there was a lot of attractive women, you know, why Julia?
I don't know.
Maybe okay, here's maybe what it was. Here's maybe what it was. My dad worked in oil, and 2001, what masterpiece, was it 2001? 2000, 99 to 2001, somewhere in that range. What masterpiece of a movie comes out that year? Aaron Brockovich, who stars as the titular, in more ways than one, Aaron Brockovich, Miss Julia Roberts, based on the true story of Aaron Brockovich, who took down a big, bad chemical company for poison. So
yeah.
Maybe because she was like...
Poor small business.
Yeah, well, maybe because she was like prosecuting a business and really waging war against them. Maybe that's why my parents. I'm grasping at straws. I don't know.
They didn't like her performance in Hook. They thought it was a little too on the nose or something.
They're like,
know?
Too old. She's too old to be Tinkerbell. Doesn't make sense. Bad casting.
She should have been Peter Pan.
But yes, we did have a disdain, Caroline, for Oprah in the house.
For Oprah. Because I feel like the vibe I got, or what I remember, was Oprah like professed a degree of Christianity, but she also was kind of into some new age stuff, some sort of like manifesting, The Secret sort of thing. And she held like a lot of sway over people culturally and introduced people to like all these kind of like really progressive issues at the time, and I think made people more open-minded maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just felt like people really got upset that people thought she was Christian, but she like so wasn't Christian, you know, because she wasn't like an evangelical Christian about it.
Yeah, I think Christians, and then I know for a fact couch manufacturers got mad at her because of what the behavior that people mimicked after Tom Cruise jumped on her couch. It devastated storerooms across the country. Is awful.
Yeah.
It also feels racist too, honestly, of just like
of
a black
course,
woman,
of course,
and like
great
power. And it must be said.
Course.
Yeah. Like it's
besides
just,
the racism, what could be underlying?
Yeah. What well besides yeah. Yeah, it's just very
racism,
like,
misogyny. Class issues,
which
what
is not
is there?
Not really our MO usually in the church, but
what racism?
Right.
Gracious. So yes, this is an apotheosis of early 2000s evangelical culture war made manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, they hit all the issues. Which, by the way,
abortion, school prayer.
Yes, and
pray for your leaders.
Just in a funny statistic of one poll a friend of mine sent. Abortion was a crucial issue in this last election to 3% of voters. So it's like fallen, like it doesn't even matter.
I'm shocked.
Well, I think part of that might be the Supreme Court's like, it's done. If it's going to happen,
I was
going to
say, it's also like 11% of the Supreme Court's favorite thing to make illegal.
Yeah.
So.
But it is a fringe, it's not a majority belief. That pro-life isn't, or I shouldn't say pro-life, anti-abortion isn't a majority.
If you just like canvassed evangelical Christians, it would be obviously a way bigger issue. But that speaks to, I guess, like how maybe it's not that big an issue, and also that maybe evangelical Christians aren't a huge, huge voting block.
No,
and
hopefully they'll keep on dwindling.
Keeping going on. So one thing I was thinking about when I was listening to this song is, he posits that if we were praying more, or if prayer was more of an active thing, especially for kids at school, that we would not have abortion And also that, what else does he say is going to happen?
There, you're going to have skull
God's prayer. God's promise. You're going to like lock Satan up, you know, captives would set free.
Also, we're going to get we're all going to get more Prez Bushes. We're going to get some more GWBs as he sings, mm-hmm. what it would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way.
Bushes like, only. I know that line is very dark.
Isn't that so funny? Oh my God.
So gross. And I was just thinking like, I wonder, like in his mind, I'm sure most of the people he knows that are Christians are praying all the damn time. A lot of prayer, always, always going on. And so to me, I'm like, I wonder if he has a number that he's trying to hit. Like, how many prayers do you need in order for God to accomplish something for the nation? Or is it just more of an attitude shift?
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll?
Yeah.
I was really curious about that too. I got the sense that maybe there was a shorthand for prayer that I was missing, but that was like maybe there's like prayer as an active like acts of service as prayer,
act of
like
prayer.
Maybe exactly like maybe that is a thing that I'm just not aware of. But I also had that confusion where it's like you're telling people like if you just pray, but then like all these things will happen, or like what if the church like did some shit, but also all of us should only pray. So that was kind of like a mixed message to me. Did that
strike like
you guys
it's not a call to like organize or like press for policy or whatever. Like it is just prayer. Which isn't a surprise, I guess, is just like a catch-all for like the thing to do, you know, as a Christian. If you're feeling out of control or at a loss on how to like make change in the country or whatever.
Yeah, or even
but it's just funny to me that like the quantity of prayer is still not enough and we need more. Like at this point.
In Bush's America.
Yeah, I know. Like you got Bush. And also when there wasn't prayer or when there was prayer in school, obviously no atrocities happened in America at all. So we need to just bring that back.
If they sang it now, they'd be like, what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? And then maybe kids in school have guns and unborn children can have fun or whatever. It's like more than whatever.
Arm all the teachers.
I think guns are the new prayer, TBH. I think that's been a shift. I get that though too. Like even beyond political stuff and personal stuff and even... I've had a recent conversation with a family member of mine about some issues in our family that were like, well, there are no easy answers here. And the conclusion was, well, all we can do is pray. And I'm like, no. I respectfully disagree. And it's such an easy, like, and the other thing was my grandma, God rest her soul, was mean. And every time, like, we brought this up in the again, it was a source of tension and trauma in our family. Complicated woman who loved us, but then also was hateful and mean sometimes. And one of the points of appeal in our family is like, well, she loves you guys, and she is a prayer warrior. And something about that specific phrase and that appeal to, like, no, there's all these good things. She's a prayer warrior. It stuck in my head for all my life since I was a little kid. As what the value is for it. I guess maybe my grandma heard this song. She's like, hell yeah, giddy up. All the prayers I can.
Yeah, like don't take her at face value. Like think about her prayer life mm-hmm. and how kind she must be there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
our version of that was like, yeah, grandpa like screamed at us only, but he was from Ireland, so, you know. Just only ate potatoes and lead paint.
Only Ireland tard.
Yeah. So, you know.
We've all got our family excuse.
Yeah. What else is wrong with our families, guys?
You know, probably some PTSD from war. Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Passed on down.
Can I, because of course on YouTube, there is a live performance of this from some year. By the way, there's a dislike, and the comment on it is, the one dislike is probably an Oprah fan, or maybe it was Oprah herself.
Guys, I didn't know Oprah was this, like, wedge.
Yeah.
It's so old, too. It feels, like, so dated to attack Oprah as well.
Okay, here's a clip from, and I have to imagine this was a barn burner every time they played it. Here's what if mm-hmm. his people prayed live.
And unborn children see light of day. What if the life that we pursue
Oh my God.
Wow. Oh, bro, what to do?
It's just so
the
funny.
The whole crowd.
To this like group of, because I believe this venue is
a church?
It's a huge church, yes.
Yeah.
And so they're in a sanctuary. God. So the sanctuary full of presumably affluent white people being like, Dr. Oh, it's so wonderful. They defeated her. Now she's banished Apple TV Plus, where she can't hurt them anymore.
Because of prayer. Because we prayed.
Yep.
All the warriors stepped up to the plate, dusted off their swords, went to pray.
Incredible stuff. Yes. What if the life
what
that
was
we...
was the church...
Go ahead.
What was the church doing that it wasn't stepping up to the plate? Like, genuine question. Was it like what? That was the line that kind of confused me the most.
Here's what I take that to mean, honestly. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you have a similar take, Caroline. Is a lot of evangelical conservative ideology is based on the government needs to pave the roads and make the mail come in time. Well, although that last one, they don't really believe
mail,
in more. Yeah.
Kevin,
but it used to be like, just do our set. Like, don't get it like small government, small government, small government. It's all these social programs, which are, by the way, majority popular, these incredibly popular social programs that then Reagan just crushed in the 80s. Like all those things are, you know what? You know why they're doing them? That's because the church has failed. We need to be helping the homeless. We need to be adopting whatever the social thing that they're providing, food stamps, all that stuff. Like that's actually a failure of the church. And we can do that. And we're going to do that better than them. So they need to stop and we need to step up. That was my interpretation of that lyric.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Well, and it's also, if we're talking about like the literal issues that they're putting forth, like in this song too, about abortion, about kids praying at school, I feel like they're just railing against people who were like maybe neutral on the issues, you mm-hmm. know, or like not as aggressive or litigious about it or whatever, or thought, or maybe we're trying to both sides the issue and mm-hmm. things like that. I think
right.
this was just a call for like less neutrality or like that understanding or saying like, well, it's not the church's place to get involved. He's saying like, yes, it is. Yeah. Like, get in there. Yeah.
It's always the church's place.
Mm-hmm.
Very
love, but only if you agree.
Sure.
But only if you agree.
Airtight. What if his people prayed and those who bear his name would humbly seek his face and turn from their way? So if you're going to pray, you won't want to do what you want to do anymore. Like you'll want to do his way, not yours. His ways are higher than mine. What's the verse, Caroline?
Yeah, that's it.
His ways are higher. We need to do a GCF translation of the Bible at some point, like a full book.
Oh. I would buy it. I've pre-ordered it already.
Yeah, maybe unreadable, probably not publishable. Amanda, I just remembered a question I was going to ask you way earlier after Kevin played his Instagram video where he was going on and on about the aspects of darkness and its runnability, its speed, you know, how it works with light, etc. I was going to say, as someone who loves science, I'm sure you can maybe fill that metaphor in a little bit more for us or share your thoughts on how darkness works.
Yeah, how does that function? Is it antimatter? Is it a black hole?
Yeah, well, just like how cold is a thing and it chases heat away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're both actively like,
is a thing and it just pushes the light on out of there.
Mm-hmm. Consciously.
Yep.
That's what I thought. Yeah, just kind of like.
And how did darkness vote in this most recent election?
Yeah, darkness wants to talk about racism, and any talking about racism is just not the light.
Well, it's divisive. Why would you bring it up? You're just dividing it by literally talking about it at all.
You're kind of bringing down the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, we prefer a non-divisive guest, please.
I will say, I love a metaphor, and I really liked the narrative framing of this song. I like the rhetorical device of the what if. Like, that is a, you know, it's an uplifting, like a aspire together type thing.
Imagine.
I was very surprised, exactly.
it's in the tradition of imagine.
Yeah,
and what if cartoons got saved, I guess.
But I was so surprised at the end with the turn into first person from God. How did that strike you guys?
That is a common songwriting technique of Christian music, is assuming the POV of G-O-D. That's pretty prevalent in a lot of these songs, yes, because they do sing. Cool.
Usually they're like direct quotes from the Bible, I think, to rid any sort of like, ooh, I hope you're not putting words in God's mouth or like misinterpreting the word or something like that. Because the verses here are Bible verses that God says. And I feel like this is like the central hub of the question or of the song, too, that is like going back to this verse and this promise that God has made, that if you gather, if you pray, I hear you and I will do some stuff for you. But you have to humble yourself and pray. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like this is supposed to be that beautiful, like still Holy Spirit voice that like reminds you to keep on praying quietly.
Keep on.
Did it strike you as like kind of bizarre or like what's the word I'm looking for?
Blasphemous?
Unexpected.
Yes, blasphemous.
Yeah, that was my question. I was sort of like, oh, if I was a teacher looking for blasphemy, I'd be like, hey. But the fact that it's generally quotations definitely makes sense to me. But as a convention, as like the end of a sonnet, you know, like I get why that is effective and why that's like a convention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the most popular example of this is Sixpence None the Richer, a Christian band. They put out a song called Kiss Me.
Kiss Me.
And that was Jesus singing to Judas.
They're Christians?
Yeah, they were. I don't know. Kind of.
They are Christian. Oh, yeah.
Pulling
they were
up
like
the lyrics.
But they were definitely like band first, ministry second, or third.
I don't think they care. No, they didn't care. Nash did not care in a good way about that sort of thing. No, but I think with these, with this kind of Christian, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but it's not popular to assume the will and mind of God in some ways, because
that's true.
He's made manifest in the scripture, so we can know these things. Ergo. Here I am. Caroline, we should do a 30 Minutes to Heaven fully from God's POV.
God POV.
As a songwriting technique.
The raw dogs will have to take that on.
That's right. The God dogs for one special episode.
I think you're right that that's a very Catholic Protestant divide. Like I grew up where like prayer is ritualized. You follow, like there's not a lot of freestyling in prayer. You really like stick to the classics. You say the rosary, you know, like you do the things you're told to do in confession. Yeah. And church too. Like, you know, you talk in unison, rise in unison, kneel in unison. There's like one time where you say something that everyone else isn't saying at the same time. And it's when you like do the peace be with you. And even the sermons, you know, are like very, they're a small slice. It is often something similar, you know, that you kind of hear week to week. And it's just not like, worst case scenario, you like lose your car keys and you pray to Saint Anthony and you're like, you're the one I go to, please help. And then, you know, you go find the car keys. So it's not like a personal relationship with God is the thing we read in textbooks, right? When we talk about like the schism and like whatever, but that truly is a thing that is not particularly reflected in like Catholic liturgy.
Yeah. And like the amount of personalization you get to do like with your prayer or with your like worship practice, even at church, you can stand up, you can sit down, you can run the aisles or whatever. Yeah. But also it means that prayer can be endless and really fraught. Like there's no structure and all that stuff too. So it can turn into these like marathon sessions.
So it sounds like maybe prayer in Catholic churches is like reading music from the Great American Songbook, whereas in Protestant churches, prayer is like jazz, and we do a rebop, a bebop, a boobop.
It's ballet versus, you know, lyrical contemporary.
Yeah, modern.
Oh. I swear, my dad was like, there's a guitar in that church. He said that to me in like 2015. Like, it's really just like not a Catholic thing at all.
The limit.
Awesome. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe it's time to rate this song. I feel like we get it, right? Yeah. We get Casting Crowns. We get what they're about.
Kevin, what? Did you see that a co-writer on this song was Stephen Curtis Chapman?
Stephen Curtis Chapman did produce this whole album. Our favorite little elf in CCM.
It says songwriters, John Mark Hall and Stephen Curtis Chapman. Yes.
Stevie.
Is God on there?
Well, yeah. God's kind of always on. God's implied.
He is the invisible songwriter, co-songwriter on all these songs.
The true invisible hand of capitalism is God.
That is,
think about it,
absolutely true. Stomp and stomp and stomp and stomp and stomp. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That woman in
yes,
her prayer.
The lady. Okay. Yeah.
That little prayer warrior?
Yeah. And yeah, Stephen. Stephen's a sneaky little elf because he wouldn't put anything this explicit on his own music.
But these are like his views, too. I feel like this is very
totally.
They're
all their views. It's all their views. Everything
hate to see that.
Is incredible. We should check in with Michael W. Smith's Instagram tonight.
He's probably having a tough time.
Oh no, they called Pennsylvania.
I didn't my endorsement work.
Just stop. Stop and it'll be the thing we want. Right?
Sure.
That's how it happens.
Just stop.
Absolutely. You just stop at a certain point. You stop at the values you want. You don't let society change at all.
And that makes sense.
But the way this is going to work is we're going to give it a holy toast, which is a thumbs up, or holy roast, which is a thumbs down. Holy toast, Amanda. We send this song all the way to heaven. Heaven bound. Or holy roast, we send it down below to the reddest state of them all.
Oklahoma.
Ohio.
Ohio. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. I didn't finish. Ohio.
Yeah. Heaven is Cleveland and hell is the rest of Ohio.
That's right. Yeah. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's heaven to me. Raw Dogs will be inducted in the year 2029. Caroline, we start with you.
Holy roast. Yeah. Roast this puppy. Though I will. No. Jump back in the fire.
Did Oprah tell you to do that, Caroline?
Yeah, she did. I was like, yes, ma'am. Got my marching orders.
And I bowed down and kissed your toes.
Gonna join Weight Watchers, too. Yeah, holy roast. I don't like this song. I don't like this value. No, thank you.
What'd you think of his voice? How would you describe this man's voice?
Bad. No, don't like it. Not a fan. Not cool.
Not cool. Well, maybe your mind would be changed if you heard one of his new songs, like The Bridge. I've never heard this song. I have no idea what it sounds like. But let's hear how he sings the first line. This is the same band, by the way. I used to rule the world.
The world's getting darker by the day.
Weird Journey vibes. You're right.
The world's getting tough. It's actually divided for some reason. Doesn't have anything to do with
things seem hard.
People I voted for. We turn it to
some white women are acknowledging racism, guys. It's bad. The darkness is here.
White women, what's up with y'all?
White women.
55% of us.
No reason.
What are
to
we
live.
Doing?
What the fuck?
All right, we turn it to Amanda for her vote on the song.
I'm going to have to give this song a Claritin because it's going down to the rusty, dusty gates of hell.
Oh, blow the dust off of them gates, Mark.
Got some hay fever. Yeah.
When you get there, gosh. I get that.
I don't hate the sound. I think this would be a fine cover band. This would be a fine, priest with a hobby. But I'm not into the values. I think that you shouldn't need to pray in school. I think abortion should be safe, legal, and free. So I'm gonna have to go with that there.
Hard agree. Also, you can pray in school at any old time you want. You know,
you can. Yes. You can pray in your head.
You can also not get an abortion anytime. You want.
You sure could. I am praying in my head and not getting an abortion.
I'm currently
right
not
now.
Getting an
That's
abortion. Or
we are actually
for one.
Aligning with his values completely.
Yeah. Like, hey, it's already done, bucko. All right. I will give it a roast too. Oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we listened to this song. I sent such a nice song at the beginning and I thought it would be bland and not that interesting to talk about for the duration of the episode. That song
we always want a fruitful convo over a comforting song.
We want a whopper to bite into and meet in the middle of and have a little nice friendly kiss. Heaven meets earth and a whopper bite kiss.
Mayo kiss.
That's right. The other song was a nice little song called Fingerprints of God, which is just about Stephen Kirschheimer being like, I love you, my son or my daughter. You got the fingerprints of God on you. And it was not political at all. And I was like, nah, let's do this one.
This is so timely, too, for like the, you know, electoral cycle to cover this song.
Yeah, as of this dropping, we're in week one of the 9-week electoral cycle. And we look forward to doing only political content until 2021, baby. But you can give it a
vote. Wait, you gave it a roast, right?
Oh, roasty.
Listen, guys, I really appreciate you giving me the chance to come on to your wholesome show and really roast something, because I was worried I was going to come on to the show like, I'm not a Christian. I don't like the song. Fuck yourselves. So thank you for being a welcoming environment.
We like everything we cover on this show. Yeah. Come on.
It's a core tenet of the show is everything gets a pass and everyone is good and no one's
done anything
bad.
Caroline especially loves it all.
In particular.
By God. It's all good.
Yes. You know what? Usually we say go to Christian Fun Pod and Pokemon Go to the Polls. No voting this week. You voted enough. It was a historic turnout. We're not doing a vote this week.
I'm going to give your voting finger a rest.
Yeah.
Use that finger for whatever else you got to do.
Join the Mutual Aid Network. Google your city or state.
Yeah.
Great ways to redistribute your wealth.
Or
to
butt
in
stuff.
Need.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, man. We did it, gang. We really did it. So let's bring it down now to a more contemplative, worshipful space. I know this kind of sounds like a spa or sauna music. What?
Oh my God.
Your multimedia game is too strong.
I made my lights scary in my room as we brought the lights down. That's kind of cool behind me, isn't it? The window lights coming in. That's kind of interesting.
It's not spooky season anymore, Kevin. It's thankful season.
Well,
if you bring Elmo into frame, I'll be really upset.
Okay, well, I'll be sure not to do that.
Don't you dare. Please don't.
Amanda, on other shows, you may promote yourself or plug your other projects. We're not here to do that. We're here to lift them up to the Lord as a humble and loving sacrifice. And we start, as per usual, with Caroline.
Hey, you know, lift up your local leaders. That's my recommendation. No, just kidding.
Don't lift them up.
No, don't lift him up. Ooh, I'm going to lift up a...
Don't lift Elmo up.
Kevin?
Wait, I'm not... Oh, my God!
You know, I am in charge of the screenshots, so I will be working on that. Okay, I want to recommend The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. Great style, glamorous.
Big eyes!
Big ol' eyes herself. Fun story. I care about chess now, which is cool.
Wait, and do you play chess, Caroline?
I was part of a chess club in high school.
Is that true?
But I was known as the loser.
They're called Chessy LaRue.
I just wanted to hang out with my friends. It's cool. There is a lot of chess play in that show, but they make it seem like really exciting, which is a real feat.
Caroline, I just bought a chess set. It came 5 days ago. I will play you anytime in the park.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I would do it. It's very fun. It's a fun way to hang out with people where there's an activity and you're not just looking at each other the whole time.
I'll be playing the Sicilian.
Okay, and I'll be choking the bishop. Is that a move?
God. No.
Okay. And then you're at Caroline's Farts, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Someone's not passionate about being online.
No, not really.
Why?
I feel like there's better people to follow, and also I just don't want the millstone around my neck of creating content.
It is a millstone.
Is it the divisiveness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also I don't like being part of the divisive discourse going on.
So for me, it's just a little too divisive right now to engage in that toxicity.
You gotta log off.
Yeah. Thank you, Caroline. We turn it to Amanda.
Yes, if you would like to hear a bunch of my friends and I talking about stuff we love in a way that welcomes other people to love it, but is still critical because nothing in this world is uncomplicatedly good, you should check out Multitude. We're at multitude.productions, where you search the word multitude in your podcast player. And whether you like 90s music, mythology, basketball, children's mysteries with Kevin there, Harry Potter, or gay stuff, you're going to find something you really enjoy.
I love all those things.
Such
well,
a good show.
Well, except maybe for Harry Potter now. It's complicated.
It is.
It's crazy how J.K. Rowling, I just realized this, she just rolled dolled herself.
Yeah.
Like now she's a rolled doll figure and she didn't have to be. It's so.
It'll be her Wikipedia forever.
Oh my
so
God.
So has the publisher of Dungeons and Dragons. They've just fully committed to like continuing being racist actively. The D&D community is like, that's fine. Here's a bunch of stuff you can buy from like buy POC gamers instead. So it's nothing in this world is simple, but it is worth talking about.
Sucks.
Thank you, Amanda. And then where can people follow you?
Yes, I'm at She's So Mickey on Twitter and Instagram, where I primarily post Leaf Watch, which is as I update you on new leaves my plants are growing on Instagram stories, and tweet about great puzzles I am doing and heist movies I am watching and King Arthur recipes that I am standing.
King Arthur? You mean gluten-free flour?
Many kinds of flour. It's a worker-owned cooperative. Those people are legit.
Okay.
They're great.
I got a little King Arthur in the cabinet, if you know what I mean. I have gluten-free flour.
Nice.
That sounds like a great euphemism for gay, and I'm going to just, like, file that one away.
Oh, you hear about Kevin? He's got a little King Arthur in the closet.
A little King Arthur in the pantry. Mm-hmm.
No disrespect. Thanks, Amanda. You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter. I run out on this thing.
Ran out? You're too busy getting offline, seeing your friends in person, no mask, like you're living life, not glued to a screen.
I think that's a part of it. I guess. I don't know.
The masks are dividing us, and not enough people are saying that.
Well, and thank you for saying that, Amanda. It's just divisive. We don't need to do it. I'll plug.
I'm a prayer warrior now.
It's a prayer podcast warrior. Everyone's priority listening to, but the Last Culturistas podcast has literally been giving me life the last few months.
I've just started listening to them in the last like month or so.
They're special.
I
they're
know
special
they're like
boys.
A super popular podcast, but it is so good. It's really nice to listen to.
I have a lot of love and respect for those boys. I like them a whole lot.
That's how I feel about Scam Goddess, where it's like everybody else knew about this. I didn't. Yes. It's great.
Oh yeah. So Lacey. Good. Lacey's also she's wonderful. And then follow me on Letterboxd, baby, at Kevin T. Porter. I'm pouring out my heart and soul into reviews of Death Becomes Her, into reviews of Carnage, into...
This is a real Dr. Funky going on out there.
I'm funking it up. I am funking it up a little bit. So follow me there.
Your prerogative.
And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every Friday. A new episode every Friday. We're talking to all of you on the episode this Friday. You called in, we answered, we listened. We listened, we heard you. We are canceling the show because of it. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. And this month's charity is...
It's the Echo Park Fund. Thanks to Alyssa Sabo for letting us know about it. Talia Caldwell is out there organizing and giving directly to the community that lives in Echo Park, which is a local park in Los Angeles. It's a whole little neighborhood in there. And she helps meet their needs directly. It's really great.
Hey. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
In a new era of this country. Maybe not.
Less divided. Ready to go.
Finally.
Always praying.
And thank you. Thank you, Amanda, for committing to be a part of the church, stepping up to the plate with us.
You got it.
Yeah, don't be lukewarm.
And there's nothing left to say except for an all of Pod's people said, amen. Did you say amen?
And also with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
And also with you. And also with you. What song should we go out on? I don't know what to do. Should we play that song? Should we play? Oh, they have a song.
Singles Ministry song.
The Instagram.
Or the Instagram.
Oh, just him being like, we're divided. You know what?
It's our outro.
Gang, they got a song I'm looking at now. It's called American Dream. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Kevin.
All work, no play may have made Jack a dull boy. But all work, no guy has left Jack with a lost soul. But he's moving on full steam. He's chasing the American dream.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, we'll see you next week. God bless. Pod bless. Goodbye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.